Hello and welcome to Power the Parent, the podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Speak. I'm a level 7 CMI accredited coach, a StrengthsScope master practitioner, mental health first aider and talent consultant. And I'm also the face behind Power the Parent. In this podcast, I'll be speaking to parents in the workplace. Some of them are in traditionally employed roles, others are running their own businesses, and we're having conversations about life in general, insights about being a parent and having a career, and exploring the strengths that parenting has awoken for people. We will talk about things like the value that they're bringing to the workplace, as well as my guests very generously sharing their personal stories and anecdotes about everything life can throw at us. Hello and welcome back to Power of the Parent, the podcast. On today's episode, I am joined by the wonderful Natalie Costa. Natalie supports children and their parents to know that they have power over their own thoughts through her talks, workshops, programs, and direct one-to-one support, not to mention the incredible social media posts and reels. Natalie is on a mission to combine the importance of childhood experiences with building resilience to support kids in responding to challenges and obstacles in a resourceful and individual way. She was previously a teacher and now a qualified coach. She's worked with over 4,000 children through Power Thoughts. That is the name of her business. I realise I haven't mentioned that yet in the intro. And it seems like the need is only going to grow for Power Thoughts services and Natalie's services in particular. And having seen Natalie in action myself with one of my children, I am delighted to be able to speak to her today off a social media world.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining me today, Natalie.
Thank you. No, honestly, it's such a pleasure to be here. I feel like we've already met, but I know we've spoken on the phone, we've chatted over DMs. It's so lovely to see a real life person on the other side finally.
So it'll be in person one day, I'm sure.
It will be.
I'm sure there will be lots of people listening who kind of know you and have seen your work, particularly on Instagram, because you have created such a community on there. The way that you talk to parents is so powerful. And I know that, you know, your career history and your approach is to be supporting children, but I know I've written underneath your posts on more than one occasion, oh my goodness, I needed to hear that as an adult. And I spotted recently a few people doing that when I'm kind of reading comments and stuff. Is that something that you've noticed?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I'll often have parents say, oh, I think this is for me as well. This is actually, I know this is for my child, but this is for me. And I mean, to be honest with you, I very often, and I also say on there, actually, I've posted this for me selfishly. So it's for me and for you as an adult, because I think so many of the parents that I chat to and adults, caregivers, you know, myself included, learning these tools when it comes to navigating our emotions, looking after our mental health, dealing with our thoughts. None of that was really taught at school when we were growing up, you know, and our parents did the absolute best that they could do, of course, but they didn't have, you know, many of these tools and insights. And if we look at, you know, parenting over the generations and over the years, it's a very, very different conversation to what we're starting to have now. And so whenever I work with parents, I say, you know, you are just as much of a learner as is your child. And yes, initially, you know, Power Thoughts started with me supporting children because I wanted to give children these tools. Why do we have to wait until our adult years? But over the years, I've also realized that actually us as parents and caregivers, we need these tools because we're still learning these tools. And so, yeah, definitely, you're not alone when you say, you know, that whatever the post is, that that's for me, because it's inside all of us, you know. And I often talk about the inner child, and there are parts of us that we're still learning how to navigate the world of emotions and understanding our own thoughts and our own feelings, and that we don't have to respond to everything we think or react to everything we feel. So we are just as much of a learner as are our children. The only advantage is that kids get to learn these skills earlier on in life. So yeah, definitely for kids and adults alike.
Absolutely. And I guess as well, that world of being a coach, you've been a coach for a long time now, haven't you? Yeah. So that approach, I know that you have that niche of working with children, but the conversations with parents and adults is not like new news for you, is it? But I guess some of the last couple of years, has that seen a significant change in the kinds of conversations that are coming up for you, or has it been quite steady? Or
I think it's definitely grown over the last few years. I think initially when I started Power Thoughts, it was very much when mindfulness was kind of like the buzzword. And I think, you know, we've also, if you think about mental health and mental health awareness, it was always, oh, PSHE on the curriculum, but that was about it. And PSHE would be kind of moved to a Friday afternoon at 2:30, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't given a lot of airtime. Whereas I think definitely over the 5-6 years that we've seen a real increase in need for opening up conversations around mental health, mental well-being, you know, in schools, definitely, but in the workplace as well. I'm sure you've mentioned, you know, you've noticed that too. And so, yes, I think there are more frequent conversations. Like I said, as I've started my journey, so initially I started wanting to work in schools and just provide programs in schools, but then obviously recognizing that's only a part of the process, that there's so much more, and actually the people supporting the children, they need these tools more, because a child's attention span is their age plus a couple of minutes. So realistically, what they're getting taken on board, they need that consistent reinforcement around them. And then that obviously led me to start working with parents doing school workshops, and then recognizing that parents can't always come to the school workshops of school because they're working, so that led me to go to the corporate sector, so I'll meet them where they're at. And yes, you know, then through that, it really organically started with parents reaching out to me saying, this is real life conversations of parents saying, whatever you're putting on Instagram, I want those tips for me. Like, can I have a session with you? And so I think slowly the sessions have kind of morphed into, yes, I'm still offering children's sessions, but you know, now it's also sessions to support parents. And it's not pure coaching, because I appreciate, you know, pure coaching, there's so much value that you can get from that. But I appreciate parents are coming to me because they want some tools and tips. Now, I don't claim to be an expert. I believe you as a parent are the expert of your child. You know your child, and that gut instinct overrules anything. I'm just somebody that's got a wealth of experience and background and understanding, and I've got some tools, and some of these tools will work and maybe some won't work, as within anything. I have been playing around, because I'm very mindful. I don't call them coaching sessions, because that's not pure coaching, but it is more, I suppose, coaching and strategy sessions, you know, where there are obviously elements of coaching, but there's also going to be some tools and strategies and insights to support parents with. So yeah, I think definitely over the years it has increased. And then of course, you know, what we've been faced with the last couple of years, I think it's kind of amplified that, especially as parents have spent more time with children, they've perhaps seen things in a different way. And obviously just the challenges that, you know, the last 2 years have brought in as well, that's kind of manifested in anxieties and difficulties and all of that. You know, we're definitely not out of it. I think we're still very much, I kind of think of it like we're on the hangover effects of the pandemic now. You know, we've been in it, and I mean, it's quite interesting because people don't really talk about COVID that much at the moment, but just last week I had 3 families I was working with that were off home because all of them have it. So it's still taking place, you know, and people are still struggling at schools, and you know, schools are finding it a challenge as well. So we're still very much in it, I think.
One of the things that you said there, actually, I think it sums up beautifully how you work, and my observation as a parent, mm-hmm. is that, so I would describe you as an expert, or to have some expertise. But what I love about the style that you have, it isn't a follow these 5 steps and your child will be this, this, and this. It's here are 5 conversation ideas, or mm-hmm. 4 other questions to ask other than how was your day, or like the stuff that you do around September time when they're starting, either starting or starting back. I adore, like, lap that stuff up. I looked the other day in my like saved items on Instagram, and there was just that I could have had a Power Thoughts NC folder, really, because it was like it was all in there, and I use them all the time, because I think there's one thing being a coach and knowing the art of asking questions, right? It's different when it's your kids, and it's different when it's yourself, isn't it? Yeah. So I really, really adore that approach, because I don't ever feel like you're trying to fix anything. I feel like it's about creating this safe space to explore and figure out who you are as a parent and who your kids are, and help you as a parent to help your kids, if that's the right grammar.
Yeah. And I think that what you're right. And that, going back to some of that word of expert, of course, yes, I'm an expert in what I do. But I think sometimes, and maybe I sometimes just feel like there's no one way of doing this. And that's kind of what I mean, you know, and ultimately, some of these tools will work and some just won't because of the nature of your child and the nature of me. And do you know what I mean? Those sort of, and you as a parent as well, and where you are on that journey. And I think it's, you know, and touching on that, there's also nothing to fix. I think sometimes this whole, in, you know, the well-being industry can very much fix this, there's something wrong. And, you know, I often see this as parents, what's wrong with my child? What am I doing wrong? You know, there's something the matter with him. And actually there's nothing to fix. It's just, we all need support in different ways, you know, and many times parents might come to me where they would say, you know, their children are having some sort of assessment or they're not quite sure what they're, and I actually think, you know, being assessed or being given a label can sometimes be a powerful thing, because then at least we know how to manage our expectations, because we get fed this thing of we've got to be normal and like be put into this box. And I mean, that's a whole different conversation of, you know, a child doesn't pay attention this way, or they don't grasp information this way, and so therefore they're not normal in apostrophes. But actually, if I now then know, okay, my child's maybe got ADHD, brilliant. Now I can manage my expectations around that. What can I do to support him? And it is a fine line, because then you don't want that label again, or, you know, and I'm putting label in inverted commas here, to stop me. Well, because my child's got this and therefore they can't do X, Y, and Z. I just think it's just as much awareness and information we can get, and understanding that we're all different and we're all normal again. We're all our own versions of normal, whatever that is. I mean, I don't really like that word, but do you understand what I'm saying? I just think it's, yeah. And there's definitely nothing, like you said, there to fix. And it is such a fluid process, and it's a process. That's it as well. I think, you know, being, and as I say to parents, being a parent is the hardest job there is. Period. There is no school, no qualification, no, you know, years of schooling you go through to teach you to be a parent. You just one day you're not, and the next day you are. And you're trying to figure that out as you go. And every child is different as well. And yet I think, you know, we can put so much pressure on, you know, and I see parents put so much pressure upon themselves. And I just think it's actually, where can we bring in the self-compassion and understand that this is a process, and sometimes it will be really, really, really hard, and the only way through the hard is through it. But, you know, what can you, you know, what tools can you use to support yourself and your child, and also have that sense of compassion as well, which I think is really, which I see, you know, parents really struggle with, because it can give themselves a really tough time, because it should look like X, Y, and Z, because that's what Instagram makes it look like, or that's what society makes it look like, or the WhatsApp groups, you know.
It's so lovely to explore it, because I think, and speaking from personal experience as opposed to, you know, anything else, I think you summed up so well what we can sometimes experience as a parent. And then I obviously come at it, if I put my power of the parent hat on, I then experience that as a coach when I'm working with clients, because it's never all about the return, or it's never all about being a parent to like an older child, or it's so multifaceted, and we all have these kind of intersectionalities that cross us then as being a parent, that's why I really love that you have a growing presence in organizations, because I think it's such a huge part that we can't leave our identity at the door and switch it off. And that doesn't mean that being a parent is our whole identity. I don't advocate for that in the slightest, but what I would say is it is a huge part of who you are, because how can it not be? So I think the fact that kind of working through businesses and organizations, employers, whatever word you want to put in there, to kind of help have some of these conversations, again, to make it a common language to talk about. You know, I think back to before I had my eldest, and I would see people get to work in the morning who were parents. After I'd had my eldest, my brain was completely different and switched on in a very different way, because I suddenly then saw these parents and thought, what have you had to go through this morning before you've got before you got to work? Do you feel like you've done a day's work before you've got to work, like I do? Have you always felt like that? And I haven't ever tuned into that before. Or, and there are plenty of people who don't have children that can have that empathy and that compassion. You don't have to have a family, I don't think, but it, that was the case for me. I did need to have the lived experience before I could understand it. But I think that whole narrative, that whole discussion about being able to bring your whole self to the workplace involves how you show up with all of the different things that are behind you. One of those strands may be being a parent.
Exactly. And I think that's what we said before, you know, what I touched on earlier, that there's no one day you're not the parent, the next day you are, and then you maybe at home for a while and then you go back to work and your whole identity has changed. And like you say, it can sometimes feel like, where in the book does it say morning routines and meltdowns because they don't want to drink from their red cup but they want to drink from the blue cup? I mean, one of the little girls I was working with told me very proudly about her meltdown that she didn't want the blue milk, she wanted the green milk. When she can have the blue milk, then she had the big meltdown. But and rationally to us as an adult, we'd have to just drink the milk, right? It's not a deal. But understanding, actually having, providing parents with the space to understand actually what's going on for her in that moment. And it actually has got nothing to do with you, because so often then, you know, your children are your world, and we instantly think, well, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? The fault lies with me. Now, I'm not saying that that's always a case of parents, but generally speaking, that's what I find in the conversations that I have. Mm-hmm. And it's actually about providing parents with the space to educate them and help them see this is what's actually going on, and here are some tools, and how can we structure that? And I think, you know, when you come off the back end of that, so you've now dropped everyone at school and everyone's in a bad mood, and now you've got to go to work and put your happy face on and do this presentation, yes, you can maybe get away with doing that for a bit, but I think so much more can be gained if, you know, parents, and that's obviously why I go into organizations, if parents have the space to A, realize they are not failing as a parent when, you know, they shout at their child and whatever has happened, because they're just human and you're learning to work through those feelings too. But B, also providing them with a space to actually, let's look at what's going on and what can you do? What can you begin to do to help you? Because we're not robots. And we can't, I mean, I even remember as a teacher, you know, being told on my first day at my new school, and it was I was brand new into the country as well, so I was very, very fresh and very green. You know, you leave your problems at the door, and I understand where that comes from. But if we really want our parents to thrive in our workplace and to give their utmost, they have to feel safe. When I'm saying not failing, what I'm meaning is that they've got to have some of the support there, because it can be a really lonely place when you feel that it's just you, and then you're failing as a mum or failing as a dad, and you're failing at work. And all of these are inverted commas as well. But it's, I think providing that form of support is so, so valuable. And that can only have a positive impact on all the, whilst it might not have a direct impact in terms of I go in and deliver a workshop on, I mean, and I don't come from the corporate sector, so I don't know, but, you know, workshop, I'm like, I don't know, performance, whatever it is, indirectly it will have an impact, because parents are going to feel better, the relationships are going to start improving with their children, the connection, they're going to feel better within themselves, not overnight, and that's the thing, it's not overnight, but over the long period of time. And I think, yeah, that's where, you know, this form of support really plays a long game in terms of, you know, how parents can have these difficult conversations and difficult, you know, if they have difficult challenges. I'm just thinking of one of the companies I'm working with. There've been some really fantastic things that we've done in terms of consent. And I mean, when we talk about consent for 4 and 5 year olds, how do you even talk? I mean, how do you even bring those two together? Yet these are things, you know, their parents came away thinking, actually, this is a really valuable conversation. And I've come away with tools to know how to support my children. Because, like, I mean, and you know, you don't switch off the minute you step into the office. It's like those things still are there. So why are we not supporting our parents?
I think it sends a really strong signal from an employer to say, we see this as adding value. We see this as important, because you're a whole person and there are lots of different entities to you. And actually, we know that if you're feeling like a failure, in inverted commas, that does show up in the workplace. And I see it a lot with clients where they will say, you know, I don't feel like I'm doing a good enough job. I'm trying to be a good parent. I'm trying to be a good friend, a good son, daughter, auntie, uncle, whatever it might, all those parts of our identity that feed in. I'm trying to do all of that and I'm not doing any of it well. Mm-hmm. And it isn't as binary as saying, okay, well, we do this and then that'll happen. There are lots of different ways that we face into some of those things, aren't there? And that knowing that your employer supports you, and it doesn't always have to be really overt support, but it certainly helps. And I think what that then does is pay back in dividends, people's engagement, because you feel able to show up authentically. And when we do that, we know after decades and decades of research into things like positive psychology, the impact that that can have on somebody's well-being and their engagement, their overall performance. And it's all these kind of connecting the dots that I don't genuinely think, if I kind of look back over my corporate career, it was completely missing for such a long time. You know, you had one-off events or keynote speakers that might come in every now and again and talk to you about gratitude, or they might, and this is like going back years, so it wasn't even a it wasn't even a topic that had been explored that deeply. But that's not where the work comes in, is it? Like we know in both of our lines of work that a workshop is great, but it's a start point, and you have to have the environment around you to continue that kind of development and self-growth, I think, afterwards, don't you?
Totally. And I mean, it is, if we're looking at, you know, if I'm thinking of the kind of work that I do with parents, it's, you are trying to create new neural pathways and new forms of thinking and new forms of reacting, you know, and disrupting maybe patterns that are there for years and years and years and years. And that takes time. That takes time. It's totally possible, but it does take time and it does take some work as well. And I think that's where the ongoing support is so powerful.
And I think that's the other thing, as you were talking there, what sprung to mind is that what you provide is, it's tools that a parent can then go and have a conversation with their employer as well. And whilst you might not label it like that, I think it helps equip you to say, look, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm experiencing, or trying to help my kid with this, I'm trying to help myself with that. And it kind of sets you up for better quality conversations then as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think one thing that I have found from the, you know, the work that I do in the corporates is parents, and I touched on before, but parents feel like they're not alone. I'm not alone in this experience. And I think that in itself is so much power. And actually when recognizing I'm not alone, and actually they're going through the same thing, and that starts to nurture those networks as well that they might have initially maybe missed or not been aware of. And like you said, it also, just like I'd often say to parents when I work with children, it's the work and why it's so important that I have parents involved in the work that I do with children, either through the one-to-ones or the, you know, the pre-recorded programs that I've created, is that it gives you both the language to know how to communicate about these things that you both understand. And I think equally there, you've just touched, you've said exactly the same thing. I've not thought of it like that, but, you know, parents then have the opportunity to communicate to their line manager about whatever it is, the challenges that they're facing, and the line managers are able to understand that. So yeah, I didn't think about that. That was a good point.
On your website. that is something that I truly do think that it's another tool that we need to be able to leave people feeling upskilled as opposed to overwhelmed. And we don't want it to become wallpaper, and like it shouldn't be about noise and do this and do that. And that's, I think, where your style and your approach comes in a really nice way. Just aside from corporates, the school side of things, and I know that you're kind of not in the teaching world anymore, but that combination of, as in, you're not teaching in a school. I know you work with schools, but putting all these caveats on there, I'll get to the question in a minute. The dynamic of school and all the things that you have to do for kids in a school environment as a teacher, and what you have from, you know, a governing body or the government or whoever is inputting into that, your kind of creative license as a teacher, you've then got the dynamic of parents and what they're bringing to your door. And that I'm tuning into some of this stuff. My eldest is, you know, has been in school for a few years now. My youngest is in school, and kind of starting to pick up all the wildly different things that teachers have to face. It just blows my mind, really, of how much you have to go through as a teacher and what you have to be ready to support on. So I'm really not entirely sure what my question is. Maybe it's more of an observation, but I can totally see, I think, where the inspiration comes for Power Thoughts, because there must be things that you can do in Power Thoughts that you wouldn't have been able to do as a teacher.
Oh, 100%. That's why I left.
That's the question. We'll settle somewhere there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was really interesting. So, I mean, my parents were quite like traditional. You've got to go to uni after school, got to go to uni. I was like, oh, I don't know what I want to do, I literally did this. My mom sent me to, I think it was an educational psychologist at the time, did IQ, EQ tests, and I kind of gave you a list of, right, you can do this, 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 and this. And I loved art. So I did A-levels and G's, like A-level equivalents back in South Africa. So I did two art subjects, but it wasn't seen as a safe industry to go in. Also loved human behaviors. Actually, if I think about it, you know, since I was about 13, 14, I loved understanding why people behave the way that they do. And again, so psychology is something I really wanted to explore. But again, that wasn't very safe, because it just, what job are you going to get after that? You've got years and years and years of studying. And then teaching came up. And I literally went into teaching thinking, oh, well, I could do art with little kids. That's going to be fun. Fast forward, when I actually absolutely did not enjoy teaching art to little kids, because I don't like mess. And I was like, it's just too messy. But so I got my qualification as a teacher. And whilst I loved working with the children, from the beginning, I just felt like, I don't know, this is not for me. And I tried to talk myself into it, And my mom's like, well, stick it out. And I was like, well, it's a safe job to have, because you're always going to have work. And then I actually decided my second year of uni to do psychology degree as an extra. So I did that in the evenings. And then I qualified to do my honours in psychology. And then I was like, okay, I'll come over to the UK. Because back then the thing was everyone comes over to teach from South Africa. So I was like, I'll come and teach for 2 years and then I'll go back and I'll do my master's in educational psychology. But that never happened because my dad's Portuguese. So I was like, I'm not going back home, I'm staying here. But I remember feeling quite stuck, because I was like, well, I still want to go into the world of personal development, of understanding emotions. And I always used to tell my mom, well, I love teaching kids, but I want to teach them what I feel passionate about. And in the nicest possible way, I just did not feel passionate about phonics and maths. And that just wasn't my jam, to be quite blunt. And I remember feeling really stuck, and for a long time thinking, is this it? Like, this is just not light me up. And, you know, trying to see, are there different things that I can do? I dabbled a bit in the fitness industry as well. So I trained to be a fitness instructor and I taught body pump and boxing and all those things. But again, I was like, don't quite know if I want to go into that world, because the psychology, understanding human behavior, draws me more. And then about 7 years ago, and I actively started looking, I was looking at mindfulness, like I said, is the big buzzword. But what I do is very different to mindfulness. I do a lot more of the coaching tools. And the school I was with actually sent me on a coaching taster qualification, which I loved. And then that made me, right, instead of becoming a personal trainer, which I was exploring, I was like, let me become a qualified coach. And for a while, I actually wanted to work with women making career changes. But again, that still didn't quite gel, because I was like, something. And you know, when you're trying to push through it, you're like, no, come on, you can, you know. And I'm very much of a pusher. I will push through. I work hard. My gut was like, and I was really trying not to listen to my gut, because I'm like, no, I'm really pissed. And loads of people back then actually said to me, well, why don't you do coaching with children? I was like, I mean, I was so disillusioned with the teaching world. And it really is sad, because I think teachers want to make such a great impact. Teachers, and I'm talking about head teachers here too, you know, schools want to make an impact, but then what comes up from up above in terms of the governments and the requirements, a lot of that they physically just cannot, because of everything that they're, you know, supposed to do, or the boxes they're meant to tick. And so I initially was like, I want nothing to do with the educational sector. I'm tired of the educational sector. And it was purely by fluke because I had come off a stress coaching day through the school that I was had kind of got my qualification with. This was like an additional CPD day that I just did one Sunday. And the kids I was working with at school that day were really stressed out about their SATs, about 11 plus exams. One of the girls was saying, I'm never going to be successful in my life if I don't do well in SATs. And I'm like, this is SATs. I understand this is a big deal for you, but in the bigger scheme of life, nobody asks you about your SATs scores, really, as far as I'm aware, and just how worked up they'd get about it. And then I literally on the spot was like, right, so this is what I learned. This is how your brain works, and teaching them those tools. And that really is where the idea of Power Thoughts came, because I'd been searching mindfulness schools. And I was like, this is not quite it, because I want to go deeper than, you know, mindfulness teaches us elements, but I want to go deeper than that. And that's really where the penny dropped, where I realized, well, why can't I start teaching children these, some of these coaching concepts in terms of limiting beliefs? What is a limiting belief? Well, how do I break that down for children? Mm-hmm. So now we create our unwelcome visitor, you know, and I get them to create a character. And I mean, one of the boys I had on a call, you know, recently called his butt brain, you know, brilliant. When does butt brain make its appearance? And helping bring those tools and make that accessible for children, but equally accessible for adults too, because we've all got our own version of butt brain, you know, piping up in our ears too.
And I quite like that name. I might call mine.
So it you know, that's, and I think for me, Power Thoughts is kind of born out of that frustration, because I wasn't able in the classroom to help children in this way because of everything else that I had to do. And I guess that kind of inner feeling, that gut feeling of like, this is what you're meant to do. So, yeah. So I think, and I mean, I 100% teachers, you know, I think it's, I really feel, because it's sadly, it's a profession I think many people go into. You want to make a change, you want to make an impact. But sadly, so many of my friends are burnt out and they're tired and they're exhausted and they've left and have done their own things. And the thing is, I'm not like, you know, not at all saying teachers need to leave. Absolutely not. But the other side I see is teachers are so gifted and talented. And yet, and I mean, I fell prey to the story of like, sometimes it's those limiting to believe, but what else can I do? I can just teach. And I'm like, you have got so many skills, transferable skills that so many people would wish to have. And it's about seeing it from that light as well. But I mean, that's a different conversation. But I think it was Power Thoughts was born out of that frustration that I wanted to really teach what I'm passionate about, which is now what I'm doing. So
what an amazing why and story, and kind of, yeah, such a strong foundation. It's so lovely to hear. Thank you for sharing that, because I didn't know all of that stuff. So it's so lovely to explore it with you. And actually brings us kind of full circle, really, which it's a great place to pause and say a huge thank you for sharing everything that you have. I'm sure there are now going to be lots of people who, if they don't already follow you on social media, are going to be like, where is this Natalie? And how do I get more of her in my life? Where is the best place to come and find you?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram. So that's at PowerThoughtsNC, and for Natalie, C for Costa. My website as well, www.powerthoughts.co.uk. I'm also on LinkedIn. So it's just Power Thoughts by Natalie Costa, or Natalie Costa. I think that's just go by my name. All social media places, people can get in touch with me. So yeah.
Amazing. And I will pop all of those links in the show notes. So if you are listening, you can very easily go click on those and go get some Natalie in your life. Thank you again so much for taking part in the conversation. It has been fabulous.
Thank you. No, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you. I've loved it.
Good. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks very much for tuning in to Power of the Parent, the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate, review and subscribe. And if you could tell all your friends about the podcast, that would be wonderful. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find me on Instagram. Just search Power of the Parent. See you next time.